Radio Pleine Lune, 101.4 MHz sur Radio Zone. Ce soir, mercredi 20 novembre, comme tous les soirs de cette semaine du sommet, pendant que Reagan et Gorbatchev discutent de la guerre des étoiles et des petits pains fourrés au chocolat, nous, ici, sur Radio Zone, Radio Pleine Lune, nous discutons de la paix ici et maintenant, avec des interviews. Alors, on vous passe tout d'abord un interview de Petra Kelly. Petra Kelly, députée au Bundestag allemand, députée écologiste, la passionnara du Bundestag, comme nous l'a décrit le Jean Pélichon qui a exécuté cette interview. Alors, une interview de Petra Kelly sur Radio Pleine Lune, Radio Zone 101.4 MHz.
Nous sommes avec Petra Kelly ce soir. Petra, quelle est aujourd'hui la raison de votre présence à Genève?
First of all, I have come together with Gerd Bastian for a demonstration on the 16th of November, which was a demonstration very non-aligned, very creative. We had also been at a meeting together at the Russian embassy. We brought with us an Afghan friend. We took him into the embassy. We have been meeting also with the women for a meaningful summit of the United States, a group of very active women in the peace movement. And we're meeting, of course, many people in all sorts of movements here in Geneva because we are having some hope also to tie up the network even better across the boundaries.
And what do you think about now the meeting of the summit here?
I believe that I hope if I hear that there's a news blackout, I hope there's also some hope for us. First of all, it's psychologically very important that the two men are meeting and are seeing each other. Second, I hope that there will be a possibility to have a discussion not only about reductions but also about regional conflicts, about human rights. But I feel that we have committed so many sins in both backyards that we must really be putting everything on the table. If they do not do this, then I think it would be a very great disappointment because there's much pressure all over the world to have some result in these talks. The peace movement is, of course, very impatient because we have been waiting for a very long time to have finally these talks.
Do you think it's the interest of the two blocs to really get some results?
I think that the small countries in both of those blocs, East Germany, Poland, Czechoslovakia, West Germany, Holland, Denmark, Belgium, they are very much impatient because they are hostages of the two superpowers. They are feeling as a pawn, and the center of Europe, European countries, are feeling that they're never asked about what is being negotiated over their head. But I think that in both superpower, in both blocs, there must be a very clear discussion of how to reduce levels, but not then to make again more qualitative weapons to replace the reduced level. We must be sure it's really true and authentic disarmament, not a way to then make new armaments in a later stage.
Well, now, what's exactly the situation of the peace movement in Germany?
In Germany, the peace movement is, of course, still alive, but I think it is not as creative as I have seen here. The Swiss movement put together this demonstration. In Great Britain and in Holland, there have been many massive demonstrations. In Germany, there is a little bit of an apathy, a feeling that we have to discuss our strategies much more in a much more concentrated way. The Green Party, which is giving me a headache at the moment, it's the party that is at the moment suffering a kind of a split in its content, in its political content, because one half is looking toward gaining traditional power and the other half is looking for more fundamental nonviolent changes in society without just turning always a government. So I think the problem that the Green Party is having is also at the moment a reflection of the peace movement, that we are searching for strategies. We have to confront the problem of SDI, of Eureka, of a militarized Europe, the problem also of arms export. So we have to cover so many questions, and this is causing us to have such a problem of what to do in the right way.
Is this really a meeting between the different peace movement in Europe?
There is often periodic consultations between the peace groups. There's also a kind of European network of green parties and radical parties that are part of the peace movement. But we have not got a sufficient enough structure of networking with each other on a regular basis. We meet always on a personal level, and many contacts are done by your personal experience and your energies, and they're not shared enough because we are unable to travel to each other enough. It's also a financial problem for many. But we do try to meet in a most regular way, and I think in Germany we must have a much better structure of organizing our own peace movement. We have a very diffuse and very chaotic organization, and that is why I was really very proud to be here in Geneva to see a most creative and a most fantasyful demonstration which connected the issue of human rights, social justice, and the issue of peace, and did not just talk about peace in an isolated sense.
That means, too, that, for example, then the different tendencies in Germany, parties or organized and organized people could really join us for the peace movement?
I didn't understand. Consensus on some issues. For example, in Germany, we always had a very big problem about whether to discuss Nicaragua or to discuss Afghanistan. Here, you were able to manage both. You were able to manage also the Kurdish problem and the Polish problem. And I think there's freedom to be able to talk about your own problem. That is the most important in the peace movement, to have the freedom to talk about autonomous positions that each different group has, but to bring it together in a consensus that the arms race is hurting people by taking away medical care, taking away food. People are becoming more hungry because of expenditures. People are losing a lot of their social rights, but they're losing their human and their economic rights as well because of the arms race. And I think that we cannot throw stones to the others. We have to be very clear in each other's backyard what we are doing. So everybody's pointing always to the other side, but we have to start cleaning up at home. And that is why this demonstration was to me a new and a very creative expression of joining together, but letting every group be there themselves, but having still an overriding goal. And that goal is that peace and social justice belong together. You cannot separate them. Even if you have so many political groups, it is possible. And the Swiss proved it.
Well, I want to ask a question now with the Greens in Germany. Do they now want to make another policy about peace, for example?
Well, the Greens have always, as you probably know, in the peace movement, in the German peace movement, they've always supported the subject of peace and justice. But because we have done so that very clearly, we often had problems communicating. For example, the Greens support many trials going against dissidents. We go to Moscow and we demonstrated on the Red Square. We also demonstrated in the Alexanderplatz in Turkey, in Afghanistan. So we have been through many of those key questions and have been credible on those questions. But in the peace movement, this was not yet consensus. So as soon as we get this to be a consensus, for example, a few weeks ago, there was a very negative decision taken in the peace movement meeting in Köln because they did not show solidarity as a group for Adam Michnik's trial. The Green had voted to have a resolution to support Adam Michnik. This was a problem, and I find this embarrassing, that if we do have such a problem, we have to really get back together again, because the trial of such people as Adam Michnik in Poland, or the trial of Kurdish people, or the trial of people in South Africa has very much to do with peace. And we don't want a peace that suppresses us. We want a peace in which we can be liberated. So the most important position is that the peace movements of both blocs can meet each other, travel to one another, are not taken to jail because they are doing this, and that they can in fact be autonomous, free human beings. That is the beginning of peace. And we must fight, of course, not for ourselves only, but for the rights of the people in the Pacific, in the Soviet Union, in Nicaragua, in Chile. That is really the message.
With the experience you have now, can you tell us if the peaceful militants now are people young or with old, how you think about?
Well, many of them are extremely young. Many of those people also in the Green Party are age 16, 17, 18, but there's also very many who are older, who are 60, who are 70 and older. There's a lot of people who are Grey Panthers in this movement. And we have many committed young workers, teachers, professional people, but we have a big problem in gaining and in winning support by workers. We have trade unionists, but that is still a very big problem to get their support. And of course, to get the managerial class between the age of 30 and 40.
Another question now is, you were not so welcome in Geneva last time you were in March, especially. What do you think about now?
Well, Gerd Bastian and myself had in fact supported a group of women who had been demonstrating very modestly with a sign for a nuclear-free Pacific. We were helping them to go to the police station. They had treated us pretty badly there, but in the meantime we had gone to court, and the police in Switzerland had to pay us back a so-called compensation for our time that we were locked up, and we found that justice seemed to work in this country because the police seemed to be totally against us, and we did win. And I was happy to read that the police had said that they wanted us to pay the price of solidarity. I think that we must in these cases go to trial, because even the way in which they had treated the women, the way they had said it was an illegal demonstration, was to me unacceptable. I found that very, very sad, because non-violent activity is something neutral countries like Switzerland must learn about, and non-violence and civil disobedience are very important principles, and they concern the respect for life and life-abiding principles. And I hope that this example doesn't repeat itself, because I think that the Swiss police in March, the way they treated the women, the way they treated certain people in this demonstration, I found was very, very sad.
Do you know that from today any demonstration is forbidden in Geneva?
Well, we know since the 16th, but we're going, for example, to do a candlelight vigil now at the World Council of Churches. The women were demonstrating in the English Gardens 2 days ago. There's also a demonstration tomorrow, a small one, which I cannot tell you too much about because I would be giving it away. But I think that there's many forms of civil disobedience, of creativity that one can do. I think it's sad that they have canceled demonstrations. I think that Mr. Gorbachev and Mr. Reagan should have gotten out and met the people in the peace movement, have invited them to a table and have a discussion with them, or perhaps to look and see what type of voices are in the peace movement. I think this is a kind of terrible fear, because you have Switzerland, you have the city of Geneva totally militarized because of a peace meeting, a discussion of two men, and I find that is ridiculous, absolutely. There was nearly a helicopter shot down yesterday who was taking pictures, but I think this is also a kind of very sad situation, that the whole world is looking at two men who have that much arsenal, and it's all dependent on two men. I find that to be really unacceptable.
Did you give a message to the embassies of the Soviet mission and the American mission this time?
We went, did you say, if
you
we went
the message? Have you been within an interview with the members of this mission?
Well, we had been together at the Russian mission on the 16th. We divided up, and part of us went to the American in Gatton. I went with an Afghan and two Swiss to the Russian. The Afghan was met by the Russian embassy. They shook hands. They had a discussion. And we also had a discussion later with a good friend of ours. That's Mr. Vladimir Lomaiko. We met him this morning. But we also are trying to, of course, meet more people in the peace movement, because that's the people we miss the most. So that was the reason we had made all these contacts.
Thank you, Zakeli.
Thank you.
Nous écoutions donc Petra Kelly, députée verte au Bundestag allemand. Donc elle parlait en anglais, vous l'avez entendu, et très vite, mais bien entendu qu'à la semaine du sommet, tout le monde est censé comprendre l'anglais. Et maintenant, on passe à une réalité de chez nous, une musicienne de chez nous, Irène Schweitzer, qui nous interprète « Die Wehmann Suite ». Un peu plus tard, au cours de la soirée, ce soir, c'est « La paix ici et maintenant », une émission spéciale sur Radio Pleine Lune et Radio Zone, nous entendrons un interview exécuté par un des journalistes de Radio Zone avec les femmes de Greenham Common. Thank you.
Thank you.